Blog Talk Radio.
EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move. Reshaping life for a better tomorrow.
What it do, y'all, and what's up? It's your boy T, and we in the club. What's going on? It's your boy T Angelo, and you are currently listening to Love, Dance, and Hate in Between Them. What's going on, everybody? We have made it through another week. God has been so gracious to allow us to see another day, and for that, I thank him. It's so much going on in the world, everybody, so we definitely have to make sure we continue to stay productive and moving forward so we don't have idle minds that just allow us to get in all kinds of trouble. So, what kind of week has it been? Well, I got my English paper back. That was really cool. I got a B+ on that. Yay. I'm super excited about that. And I'm reading Othello. Have you guys read some Othello? It's deep. It's like just opening the first page, I knew that it wasn't going to go well. But we're trucking it through slowly but surely. And as I learn to read, as I hawk through the space in which the pussy takes. That's how they speak. It's hilarious. Anyhow, I'm pulling it through slowly but surely. But anyhow, so you guys, thank you for tuning in to Love, Dance, Hate Between Them. You know, this show where we like to talk about healthy living, higher learning, music, pop culture, you know, living life to the fullest. That's how we like to do. Well, for tonight's show, we have a little bit of celebrity hub with Common and him being at the White House. We'll talk a little bit about Beyonce and also Miss First Lady. Well, that goes with the White House stuff. But anywho, we'll get all into that and discuss a little bit about Jumping the Broom. Yes, the film that came out here recently that I have been talking so highly about because I couldn't wait to see it. Unfortunately, I haven't done so yet, but we will see what the box office had to say. And then also, listeners, we'll discuss a little about quick career prep programs. You know, in some cases, four-year college isn't for everyone, and we'll discuss a little about that. And also, it's kind of that time of the year, you guys, for spring cleaning. I know I personally need to get down in the trenches and really scrub out that dust, dirt, and grime. So I have 8 speedy cleaning tips, because if you are an entrepreneur on the move, you do not have a lot of time to spend on heavy, heavy cleaning. So we have to find some speedy ways to get that process taken care of. Throwing stuff out is probably one of the quickest routes, but we'll figure out that a little bit later. Also, we have a wonderful special guest, actor and comedian from BET's Comic View. We have a gentleman by the name of Omar who's going to be here tonight. So you guys definitely got to stick around so we can chat up with him. I'm so excited because if he is going to be funny, then I'm going to have to go get me some drink so we can be funny and have a little bubbly, if you know what I'm talking about, you know, some Dr. Pepper or Coke or something. So anyhow, you guys, I'm really excited. We're going to have a blast. So, definitely stick around. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we'll hear a little bit about Beyonce maybe quitting Jay-Z. Could it be? We'll be back to you guys after this.
YoungMoneyHD.com. We get your favorite artist on before he does.
Especially when it came to relationships and girls. But just when I least expected it, love. Rearrange my whole world. Junior high, played 'em. High school, played 'em. College, well, you know, played 'em. Me and my friends used to laugh about it, how we fade 'em. Now Cupid's aiming his arrow right there at me. No more nonchalant can I be. Put you here staring at me with the most beautiful eyes that a nigga ever seen. You pulling emotional vibe from my soul. Look at me. You got my heart beating like my back is filled with batteries.
All the men before me did
shit I would never do. And I know you got your guards up, but they should let them through. Just keep fighting for our love, and baby, I'll defend it too. And if they try and tell me time is money, I spend it with you. I spend it all, I spend it all. I charge forever to my car and pay it all. No interest lost, I'll be right here. And like your favorite wine, girl, I'm worth trying. But take it easy on me, cause this my first time.
What it do, you guys? What's up? You are currently tuned in to Love, Dance, and the Hate Between Them. This is your boy, T'Angelo, and we're going to have a blast. So, anywho, you know, we have had a great week, and I have had fun. I mean, school has been, you know, pretty crazy and everything, but you know, I got to keep it pushing for all those higher education folks out there. We're past the midway point, and it's about time we're about to run up on these finals are coming up, and the, you know, kind of the meat of all this. So we're definitely going to have to stick strong with our guns and definitely push it through, you guys. So, yeah. Anyhow, so really quickly, we're discussing the box office and Jumping the Broom. How did it do? Well, it did pretty good. Oh, yes, Jumping the Broom this week came in at number 3, grossing $15 million this weekend. Super cool. It's coming in second was Fast 5, which I'm really excited to see. I haven't got a chance just yet, but I am working on it. And then at number 1 would be Thor. Okay, so that's kind of how the movies came in. So I'm really happy to see that Jumping the Broom did well. And actually, I've spoken to people who have seen it, and I've got nothing but you know, positive reviews. The critics kind of rated a B- on Yahoo, and the Yahoo users gave it A-. And I was really happy to see that. You know, they felt good about it. I love the cast, ranging from everyone from Loretta Devine, who I truly love. Angela Bassett, you know, great. So, like I said, just a wonderful, wonderful cast. So much kudos to that. Perhaps next time we speak on air, I will have a review of my own to give for those who haven't quite checked it out or still maybe on the fence about it, okay? So, but it did come in number 3, so that's super cool. Anywho, Who do we want to go into? Real quick. So I was just reading online. It was this funny little story I want to share with you all because I thought it was kind of funny. What has the school system become when a little romantic gesture is blown way out of proportion? Well, the high school senior James Tate wanted to impress his girlfriend by asking her to their prom. He's in Shelton, Connecticut, and in a way that the whole world would notice, the Connecticut Post reports that this young man he went to the school in the middle of the night and taped up a sign about foot-high letters in cardboard on the entrance of the school that read his girlfriend's name, "Will you go to prom with me, HMU Tate?" And I was thinking, too, what is HMU? Is that a new university? Well, for us who are not young enough to be hip with the IM, it means hit me up. So will you go to prom with me, hit me up, Tate? So, well, first of all, the good news is she said yes. But the bad news is Tate is now banned from attending the college, prom, because the officials of the school say that he was trespassing and risked his life by using a ladder to put the letters up on the wall. I mean, granted, it was high up. You guys, it seemed like it was about maybe about 10 feet off the ground up on the cement wall where he taped it up. And, crap, I don't know. I mean, I thought it wasn't that big a deal. I mean, I get it. You know, he didn't completely deface property. I mean, we can pull the little letters off the wall. He didn't spray paint it on there or anything. But I don't know. I just thought that, and I read most of the blogs on it, and everyone was just like, you know, it's fine. There's far worse things going on. Let the guy go to prom. I don't know. You guys, hit me back and tell me what you think. Or give me a call if you'd like to give me your thoughts at 718-664-6543. I'm simply going to say I didn't think it was the worst thing. Of all the things he could have done, I thought it had been funny and cute. I mean, I probably would give him a slap on the hand or something, make him clean up the gum off the bottom of the cafeteria table or something. But he would be going to prom. He would. So this was really upsetting, though, you guys, to Rodriguez. He told the paper, it's our senior year, and we are supposed to have happy memories, not something like this. So he wasn't too happy about it. But the funny part is, ever since then, he became majorly popular. He has a group on Facebook that is supporting him. And he has, I think, over 30,000 hits now of people who have joined his Facebook group. Hilarious. Something so small can be blown so poor out of proportion. So that was an interesting little ditty. So I guess you guys, when you think about getting a romantic gesture, be cautious in how you go about it. One person posted, that's when you know that romantic gestures are overrated. I disagree. So anyhow, you guys, get the pros. I get the pros and cons of it, but I still just think it was a big old mess. We'll be right back, you guys.
Are you an entrepreneur on the move? EOTM Media Group has become the new voice for you. EOTM has the most outstanding public relations firm that will suit your needs as well as your budget. Thanks to EOTM Radio and staff, EOTM has climbed the ranks, reaching over 1 million listeners worldwide. Not only is EOTM Media Group mutually respected for its amazing quality, but also for their branding and marketing expertise. Everyone in the industry needs PR and marketing. So with that said, if you or someone you know needs PR or marketing solutions, contact Carla Barnes, Head of Marketing and Branding, at 213-290-3573. Or visit her website at www.eotmmediagroup.com or join her blog at www.eotmblog.com. What's that? You're interested in hearing a few live shows? Visit our radio page at www.eotmradio.com. Thanks for your time. This commercial was brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic City Records.
Okay, so really quickly, I know we got to get to Beyoncé and her Jay-Z issue, but beforehand, I want to share with you something else. Okay, so last week, I think it was last week, we talked about Michelle Obama dancing to the Beyoncé new dance track. Well, this week, the First Lady has the rapper and poet Common perform at the White House. How do folks feel about this? Well, you know, everyone has their say-so. Back in 2009, President Obama greets the rapper Common at the National Christmas Tree Lighting Ceremony in Washington. Well, this year, Michelle Obama has her evening of poetry at the White House. And this set off Republican critics before the artist even uttered a word, because it was in their conclusion of Common that he set off the Republicans, because they consider him a rapper, a thug, and, you know, a person of, what's the word you could use? You know, his views and some of his music isn't what they would prefer it to be. And so Common, I think, who's considered to be, you know, a fairly tame rapper, you know, when a tame is one as it goes, is known for his rhymes and his trend and also being socially and politically conscious in his music. Well, in Michelle Obama's evening of poetry at the White House, rolled out seamlessly Wednesday night, showcasing the impact of such words of American culture. The fireworks erupted earlier as Republicans cried foul before anyone uttered a word. It was, again, in the conclusion of Grammy Award-winning rapper and actor Common that drew complaints from Republicans, who said some of the lyrics celebrate some of his lyrics celebrate violence. Common, who is considered, again, a fairly tame rapper, is known for his music and being politically conscious. Now, he was on his best behavior Wednesday night, but the rapper opened up his performance with cuts of words from Martin Luther King Jr. and spoke of walking into the White House with love on my sleeve, and I quote. His performance gave nods to the challenges of crime and the violence that face children, to gangsters and beacons of light for those in dark alleys, and celebrated the rise of Barack Obama. It ended with, and I quote, one king's dream, he was able to Barack us. So, okay, there you have it. So he was there, Republicans upset. Karl Rove, who worked in the White House for the president, George W. Bush, labeled Common as a thug and said on Fox News that the performer had advocated assassinating Bush and violence against politics. Rove added that the White House decision to include Common in the event speaks volumes to President Obama and the White House staff. Let's see what Sarah Palin had to say. For her, she tweeted, oh, lovely, White House. She was in disagreement of Common being there as well. She had a critical decision on Common's appearance. And so I think it's pretty interesting because Common is really, I think, you know, a great artist. I enjoy his work. And to be included in such a thing for his poetry and for his works, I wouldn't have disagreed with. I mean, I don't know. Let's just keep going. Apparently, Sarah Palin and Fox News Common went on to say, he tweeted back to all episodes going on. He took the criticism in strides, and he tweeted back, so apparently Sarah Palin and Fox News doesn't like me. Later, he added on Facebook post in which he said, politics is politics, and everyone is entitled to their own opinion. I respect that. But one thing that shouldn't be questioned is my support for the police affairs and truths that protect us every day. Peace, y'all. Which I think is cool. He had no reason to get too deep into it. Let me see, what you call it? I thought it was funny, though, because Fox News Channel just 6 months ago had described Common as a rap legend. One of the things the president appreciates is the work that he's put forth and that he's done for the children, especially in Chicago, trying to get them focused on poetry as opposed to some of the negative influence in life. So, I don't know. Michelle Obama didn't address the criticism during the afternoon remarks at the workshop, but, you know, we all knew it was there. I mean, you know, people do and say different things, whatever, but if we go ahead and not include people because of some of their views or some of the things they said, a lot of the politics in the White House and the political people in the White House would not be there because we've all said things that someone disagrees with. So I think all in all, Common is a positive influence in the community, in his music, and I didn't get a chance to view what he did actually at this event, but I'm sure it was of quality. And if the First Lady Michelle Obama saw fit, then hey, I'm there. So anyhow, you guys, we'll be right back. When we return, Beyonce, is she getting rid of Jay-Z already? We'll be back after this.
Cars, cars, clothes, clothes, the hoes, I suppose. wanna be, I just wanna be successful. I just wanna be, I just wanna be successful. I just wanna be, I just wanna be successful.
Oh yeah, Trey, I fucking feel ya. They be staring at the money like it's unfamiliar. I get it, I live it, to me there's nothing realer. Just enough of all your problems, too much to kill ya. And when I leave, I always come right back here. The young spitter that everybody in rap fear. A lot of y'all are still sounding like last year. The game need change and I'm the motherfucking cashier. Nickels for my thoughts, dimes in my bed. Quarters of the cush, shake the lines in my head. Take my verses too serious, you hate me. Cause I'm the one to paint a vivid picture, no HD. Yeah, I want it all, that's why I strive for it. Diss me, you'll never hear a reply for it. Any award show or party, I get fly for it. I know that it's coming, I just hope that I'm alive for it.
I want the money, money in the cars, cars in the clothes. The hoes, I suppose. I just wanna be, I just wanna be successful. I just wanna be successful.
Yeah, I want things to go my way. But as of late, a lot of shit been going sideways. And my mother tried to run away from home, but I left something in the car, and so I caught her in the driveway. And she cried to me, so I cried too. And my stomach was soaking wet, she only 5'2". And 48 hours all before I showed up and brought $1,000 worth of drinks and got pulled up. Damn, my reality just set in. And even when the phantoms leash, them hoes wanna get in. I do a lot of things hoping I never had to fit in. So trying to keep up with my progress is like a dead end. My girl love me, but fuck it, my heart beats slow. And right now the tour bus is looking like a freak show. And life changed for us every single week, so it's good. But I know this ain't the peak though, cause I want the
money. Money in the cars, cars in the clothes. The hoes, I suppose. I just wanna be, I just wanna be successful. I just wanna be, I just wanna be successful. I just wanna be, I just wanna be successful.
Without Peter Pan and my delivery, this got me buzzing like the pizza man. In person, I am everything and more. I'm everywhere these other niggas never been before. But inside, I'm treading water, steady trying to swim to shore. I'm on a shopping spree to get whatever is in store. Yeah, just call me Shopping Bag Drizzy. Or call me Mr. Damn, he ain't copping that, is he? And fans of these freshmen is about to get iffy. Why this youngin' that you doubted is about to get busy. I'ma kill it, I promise, that's how I know you're mad. I've always treated my city like some shoulder pads. The big homie, use a flash if you must. And I swear I ain't asking for much, all I want,
I want
is
the money, money in the cars, cars in the clothes. The hoes, I just wanna be,
yeah.
I just wanna
yeah.
be successful.
That's all I want, man.
I just wanna be, I just wanna be successful.
You gotta tell
them,
Dre.
I just wanna be, I just wanna be successful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like I know what I gotta say. I just don't know how to say it.
Pardon the swag, but bitch, it's Cartier. Long bread, I don't eat shark cake. How come I can't miss a woman like I can't miss court dates? Cheese, but she's not in this portrait. Yeah, life's fine, but I don't portray. I'm on the other side, but it is a sharp gate. I don't want the glow, I want the glow ray. And I'ma fuck the world, but this is just foreplay. Tired of hearing bullshit, bring on the cow shit. Haven't met a smell that's stinkier than house shit. And that's word to Toronto. So high up, I got birds in the condo. Ain't that a female dog? Ask her who I am to her and she yell God. Weezy baby, I go real hard. No further details, boy.
Yeah, what's going on? It's your boy, T'Angelo, and you are currently listening to Love, Dance, and the Hate Between Them. So, you guys, what's it do? Okay, so, where we at? We are going to really quickly talk about career prep programs. Talk about higher education and, you know, betterment of life, and definitely having income that we that can suit our lifestyle is definitely a part of it. So with this one, this is kind of a cool, quick career prep programs, you know, something that you can get in your feet wet with. You could take it, you know, career, but kind of like, again, get your feet wet kind of stuff. Nothing else going to get you the six-bedroom house on the hill, but it does get you a good start in this your field of work, okay? So anywho, let's look at a couple. So with parents sometimes forget to tell their children, is that you don't always necessarily have to spend 4 years at a college to reach your goals, okay? In fact, depending on your career aspirations and your schedule, it's actually possible to prepare for a new career in just 1 year, okay? Now, some people don't take to the whole school thing. I have a sibling of mine who is not a fan of the four-year education, going to classes and studying books, sweating over the expensive books and university libraries and all that jazz. Okay, all right, I can accept that. You don't have to, but let's find something that will work for you. So say, for instance, you're interested in something like a paralegal certificate. While the most common way to become a paralegal is through a program that leads to an associate's degree, a paralegal certificate program is a great option if you already have a bachelor's degree also, so you're looking to make a little change here. Many certificate programs only take a few months to complete. Now, what to expect? In this type of quick career prep program, you will study legal research, the legal application of computers. Many certificate programs also require an on-the-job training in the form of internship as a part of the curriculum. Okay? So if you happen to get into paralegal and spend most of your time there helping lawyers and preparing for their closing and hearings and trials and things of that nature, it'd be a good look for you. And with this type of work, the average wage for a paralegal is about $50,000 a year. So that's not bad if you're into that line of work. You know, again, at a starting level, that's something to look at. Now, secondly, if you happen to be into something more like a pharmacy technician certificate, this is something you can also look into. While it is possible to score a pharmacy technician position with simply a high school diploma, preference is usually given to applicants who have completed a pharmacy technician certificate program or comparable training, which can take between 6 months to 2 years. Either way, you're likely to get hands-on training after hire, okay? With this, you can expect the program to generally include a mix of classroom and lab work. Classes usually cover terminology, pharmaceutical calculations, record keeping, and pharmacy law and ethics. Okay, with pharmacy technicians, they kind of help the pharmacists with customer care, prescriptions, admin issues, things like that. And the wages for this is at almost at $29,000 a year. Okay, again, something cool, entry level, a little above. A nice little amount of money there to get you started in that field of work. We also have medical assisting certificates where you can get yourself involved in that. Traditional schools can take up to 10 years to complete after high school, but this is a serious undertaking and a large financial commitment. But a certificate in medical assistance, however, can take as little as 1 or 2 years. That field of work with that certificate will get you at $29,000. And what to expect? Choose this program, and you might study basic human anatomy, medical terminology, medical front office procedures, and submissions of medical claims, insurance procedures, and politics, Mike's pharmacy techs, these positions usually include on-the-job training. And so, yeah, you know, the medical field is, as my grandmother puts it, a field that will always be hiring because we'll always need medical attention. And so, again, with the $29,000 a year wages, that's not a bad place to start. We also have the information technician certificate, which is IT. And as you know, we live in the dot-com era. So if you happen to get into a program like this, it can take anywhere from a few months to a year to complete and prepare you to pursue a variety of computer-related jobs. Students need to be strong, have strong skills in problem-solving and analytical and customer service going on into their training because, as you well know, with being in IT, it's a lot of problem-solving. You know, you have to be able to look at this, there's an issue, and troubleshoot and figure out where the issue is because with technology, it doesn't always tell you the problem. It just isn't working correctly. Something like this can get you started at $47,000 a year. Not a bad look if you're looking for just a, you know, something kind of simple and easy. It'll get changed. Not easy in the fact that it's, to obtain is easy, but again, we're not going for the long haul of 4 to 8 years worth of college training. And then lastly, I'm going to mention dental assistant certificate. Generally, the certificate program in dental assistant can take approximately 1 year to complete, and as many and many also include actual experience in the form of externship in a dentist's office. Okay, so my best friend Ashley, she went into the dental thing. She did the whole 4 to 5, I don't know how many years it took her to get hers done, but she's completely enjoying it and says it's a very rewarding field. So if you're into something like dental assisting or considering it, it's a good field to go into. Again, it also has a good demand on it because people need their teeth to be worked on. And with this one, you can expect a dental assistant program to prepare you for clinical, laboratory, and administrative aspects of the position. Think everything from figuring out how to process radiographs to taking vital signs to completing insurance claim forms and much, much more. So in this field, you guys, about $34,000 where that could get you, you know. So just a couple of things I wanted to mention. I thought it was really good for those who are not always interested in going to university. Just a quick career prep program can allow you to still have a good lifestyle that is suitable for you. And if you're a two-income household, that wouldn't be a bad look, okay? Again, get your feet wet. And all this information, you guys, was according to Yahoo Education. So, anywho, okay. Now, let's get into what I really want to talk about, which is the Beyonce story. Okay? Now, Okay, you guys, I'm sorry. They're telling me I have to take a quick break, okay? But when I get back, I'm getting started right into it, you guys. Don't start me with nothing else now. Okay, you guys, hold tight. And when we get back, we'll hear about this whole B thing, okay?
Great show, Beyonce.
Thank you.
And you have a concert coming up, too.
I do. You should come by.
Love to.
Just have your people call my people.
Oh, I will. I'm going to have... She wants my people to call her people.
I'm not finished with you. Hello?
Eddie.
Yeah.
It's Ellen. Listen, I need tickets for Beyonce's concert.
Uh-huh.
You're my people, right?
People. Ellen.
We're like family. Listen, I got to go.
No, I was going to say, I got to go. No, I'm busy. Okay. Got to find my people. Hey, guys. How many persons make up a people? Why can't one person just call one person? Let my people go!
Hey, does anyone know where stage 7 is?
That's it. People that can get me into the shows I want to get into. That's why I'm a card member.
I'm glad you could come.
Oh, yeah, well, I have people, you know.
Let's do lunch.
Okay, we'll do lunch. Great. Have your people call my people.
Are you getting the most out of entertainment? Are you a card member?
All righty, you guys. Well, we are back. And you are currently listening to Love, Dance, and Hate Between Them. This is your boy, T'Angelo, and we are having a blast. So really quickly, if you happen to have any thoughts on any issues going on in the world, definitely give me a call. 718-664-6543. Also, if you happen to just want to share some of your thoughts or just say, what's up? Be sure to give me a call at 718-664-6543. Yeah, I got that little what's up from Inspiration of Martin. Martin. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm a major fan. You have to hold out with me. So anyhow, okay, so. this piece of news I thought was interesting. Now, how accurate it is, I don't quite know, but it sounds funny. It was from Media Takeout, who can be hit and miss at times, but they did get wind of an explosive report. So according to, as they say, a very reliable insider, Beyonce and a number of close advisors had an emergency meeting yesterday, and noticeably absent from the meeting was her husband, Jay-Z, and all the members of his Roc Nation management team. According to their snitch, the meeting was called because of the very tepid response Beyonce's new album received during its private screening yesterday. The insider told Media Takeout, "We are screening for Beyonce's new album entitled 4. A number of people told Beyonce's label privately that they were disappointed with the work." Now, given Beyonce's near flop with her first single, Girls Run the World, Beyonce's label team called what we're told as an emergency meeting with Beyonce. Amongst the topics discussed were re-recording the entire album and including more R&B ballads and dropping Jay-Z and the Roc Nation as her management. The insider also explained a lot of people blame the album on Jay-Z and Roc Nation. They think it's time that she went with one of the major management companies in Los Angeles, at least as far as her music career is concerned. Wow. We knew that this was coming, but we didn't think it'd be coming so soon. I don't know. I don't know if I knew it was coming. I kind of feel that way, and I kind of don't. I know I said it, kind of wrote it, but now it's a little different. So, real quickly, I will say I had checked out the new single called Girls Rule the World that was on the internet, and I was going to give you guys a sound bite so you can hear it, but I didn't like it. I guess I should have pulled it anyway. I so should have pulled it. But I actually, if you go on, like, some of the sites online, you can find a bunch of music by Beyonce that's never been released, and I just thought that this was another song that was just floating out there that had never been released. So I didn't know it was actually supposed to be her first single. And I am a fan of Beyonce. I do enjoy her work. But that one didn't quite, it seemed like an album cut. Or matter of fact, generally you record to keep at home. Can't say it was exactly what I would have been looking for. So anyhow, we'll have to just keep our ears and eyes out to see what else happens to go across the Beyonce train. If you guys get a chance, definitely. Matter of fact, you can go on my Facebook. I Facebook the song, so you can go to Facebook T'Angelo and hit it up there and, post your comments and see what you think, okay? So anyhow, you guys, we're going to have another little sultry tune play for us. But when we get back, don't forget we do have a comedic actor from BET's Comic View and all other sorts of things that this gentleman has done. Omar is going to be here tonight, so you guys definitely want to tune in. And be sure to give him a warm welcome. Call in and say hello. You can always hit the radio lines up at 718-664-6543, and we can chat it up with Omar and see what he got going on and what it do and laugh on the world of funny. Okay, so we're going to see how funny he is, because I'm ready to laugh. I'm going to find me some drink real quick so I'll be nice and tipsy, and then we'll be getting into that. So before we get into that, though, we'll be talking about spring cleaning, everyone. Spring cleaning it shall be. So hang around, stick around. We'll be back after this.
Been gone for so long. I'm running out of time. I need a doctor. Call me a doctor. I need a doctor, doctor, to bring me back to life.
I talk the world. One day I was paid back.
Like I do.
You guys are definitely tuned into Love Dance Nate between them. This is your boy T'Angelo. Okay, so I'm sorry, random. Okay, I thought I had a funny, but I think I forgot what it was. Anywho, moving right along. Okay, so I don't know if this time of year is considered spring cleaning or not, but I think it is because that's what I'm going to do. That's where I'm at in my life. So. We're going to discuss spring cleaning, you know. If you happen not to have time for a big top-to-bottom seasonal ritual we call spring cleaning, you can still get the job done by tackling tasks slowly but surely. When completed, you send the cleanest vibes renovating throughout the house and the whole house. We spoke with we're actually going to get this information from a cleaning expert who talks about finding out which items need to be on your to-do list that will have the most effect on the overall appearance of your home. What areas could it be? Well, the first area we're going to discuss is, I'm sure, an area that probably most homes have an issue with, which is the living room media center. Yes. Okay, so how many of us have this whole DVDs cascading from everywhere, if we still do the DVD thing. And you have cases, and then you also have the remote control to the stereo, the remote control to the DVD player, if you happen to have the VHS, the TV, the cable box. You know, it's just so many remote controls going on. It's so much going on. Well, with typically the media center being the focal point of the living room, the media center easily becomes the catch-all for stray magazines, books, video games, remote controls, etc. If not contained, the pileup can spread throughout the entire house, not to mention become a huge eyesore. Okay, so to solve this problem, we'll be introducing colored boxes and baskets to contain the clutter. This is recommended cleaning. This is recommended by the clean blogger Beth. She has a lot to say about it. But what happens is, you find some stylish baskets that will add texture and depth to your living room decor. And you can easily sweep up some of the clutter that happens. So, like, let's say your remote controls. You can put them on an end table inside a little basket, a little catch-all kind of basket, if you will, that would help with that. And as far as your DVD cases and things and whatnot, don't actually pull them out. In my mother's home, and the way we would do things is you take the DVD out of the case, and then you lay the DVD sideways on the DVD shelf and play the DVD. But what happens is the case is now sticking out. So you don't put it back in standing up way, but lay it on its side so it's sticking out. That tells you, A, that you've got a DVD that's out, you know, of its place, and then the case is still on the shelf, not hiding and tucked away. So let's say, for instance, you have three or four DVD cases sticking out on the side, then you know you have three or four DVDs floating around. You need to become more organized and get those things from laying around the living room, okay? And then also just try your best to keep the keys, magazines, cups, and things like that off the media center, because all those happen to catch, just get caught up on that area because they didn't. Like I said, it's the focal point of the living room. That's what it does. So keep an eye out for that. Now, the next area we'll discuss, the bathroom floor. Hair, toothpaste, styling gel, perfume, dust, some cases makeup. Thanks to gravity, all these things and all these products find their way to the floor. So focus your cleaning efforts there in the bathroom because that's where all that stuff is. You know, it falls right to the floor. Not only will scrubbing the tile and shaking out some of the rough and, you know, all the nastiness that's in your floor prevent you and your family from dragging grime throughout the house, it instantly refreshes the air. And in other words, a clean floor allows you to both feel, as well as your feet, and smell the cleanliness. That's one clean job that does not double duty. Okay, so you just got to get in there, a little bucket and mop, if you will, if you got a good scrub brush, you know, because the Swiffer doesn't work, you guys. The Swiffer just does the top little layer, you know, a little spray, and a Swift under the top layer. You got to get a little bit deeper in there to really pull out some of that stuff. But think about it. If you're discussing different hairsprays and whatnots and different perfumes and things that you may put on in the bathroom, and if you brush your teeth walking around in the bathroom, that, you know, can also be on the floor and you just not really notice it. So that's an area that we can, you know, quickly get done, and you typically keep your bathroom counters and toilets and stuff kind of, you know, touched up on a regular. But for spring cleaning, the floor and the bathroom will probably be the best place to go. Look at the kitchen. Washing dishes is my number one most hated chore. I am a major fan of the dishwasher. But if we're going to look at the kitchen, let's look at the refrigerator. When your fridge, the hub of the kitchen, is out of order, it becomes much more difficult to find things, okay? Plan meals and figure out what you need to replace, which creates unnecessary chaos and clutter, not to mention waste, okay? Now, they suggest that emptying the fridge using antibacterial spray to wipe down the shelves, trays, and borders is probably one of the best things to go. And then restocking and reorganizing in a fashion that makes sense for you, okay? So if you go through your refrigerator and pull out everything so the refrigerator is completely empty, that'll help you decide what needs to go back into it, okay? Because there's just some things that sometimes get pushed to the back that we don't quite need anymore, or you thought you would need it and you didn't. Or that bottle of ketchup that was behind that big picture of whatever it was in the back, you didn't see the ketchup, so you went out and bought two more ketchup bottles and you already had one in the refrigerator. Unnecessary. So definitely organize in a fashion that makes sense to you, you know, what's functioning in your life. And for even a shorter for a bigger shortcut, they suggest simply tossing out half-used condiments, old juices, and soda jugs. Take the containers out, and you'll see it makes a world of difference, okay? Let's move over into our bedroom closet. Do we dare? Do we dare? I know our closets are one of my favorite cartoon characters, Garfield, would say, organization is in the eye of the beholder. Well, let's discuss the eyes of clutter. Let's discuss what is appeasing, okay? Organizing your closet is an indirect way of organizing your bedroom. If items have specific places to live, they're much less likely to end up where? On your bed or on the floor, flung over a piece of furniture, your desk, the futon, whatever. Shoes crowding up the floor space. Let's try maybe hanging and organizing and, you know, put things under the bed bins. Things of this nature will help organize all of your clothes. The dirty gym clothes piling up faster than you can keep up with. Get as many hampers as you need, okay? Taking a systematic approach to storing each type of item in your closet is a perfect way to get in line, which will help the rest of your room reap the reward, okay? And when you're done, follow suit with keeping all these things balanced by trying to continue these things. You know, if the hampers over here are made for this, if you decide to design your shoe area of the closet in a certain way, let's try not to leave the shoes on the floor next to the bed or whatever. Try to continue to put them, you know, where they belong. And it can be kind of hard when you come in from a long day of work. All you want to do is strip everything off, toss it to the wind, and fall into your comfortable bed. And the next morning, you get up, put some new on, push those clothes to the side, and never put them back in their places. But you just have to discipline yourself not to do that. I personally am known in my community for sleeping with my clothes. It's actually known that I sleep on a diagonal in my bed, and the far right bottom corner of my bed is usually full of clothes. Because I run so much, you come in the house, you strip off, you put on this, and you run right back out. And when I get back home after a long day of events and media and school, I just go to bed. It's hilarious. My grandmother still asks me, honey, do you still have a pile of clothes on your bed? And I'm like, not, well, a little. But these days I'm doing a lot better. So not to say it's the best, but I'm a lot better. So anyhow, also we're going to pull this to a close with discussing a couple more areas, which is going to be patio furniture, because, you know, patio furniture tends to collect up a lot of dust and dirt and things outside. And because it's out in your outdoor space, you may be able to get away with leaving that area alone, but you're also less likely to achieve a clean look if you don't have it just wiped down the tables, seats, and upholstery. Besides, nothing deters people from spending time on the patio than like furniture that is cracked and all grimy, you know. They recommend trying to keep the plastic pieces and, you know, with a damp paper get the plastic pieces with a damp paper towel, just wipe them down and try to keep them looking tidy because, you know, the furniture being outside and stuff, it is in the elements at some time. And the upholstery with a heavy-duty upholstery cleaner, you just clean that up, whatever, you know, like a Turtle Wax power out. Those are really good to kind of keep their upholstery looking nice. And they come with a little brush and some spray. So you don't have to worry about scrubbing too hard or, you know, getting too deep into it. It's kind of a really simple thing to do. So definitely check that out. And dirty clothes in the laundry room, let's keep that tied up. And then some people's houses, the dining room collects a major amount of dust. Since the dining room in some cases is often the least used room in the house, it tends to collect most of the dust and also everything else in your life. You walk in the house, you throw your bags, your purse, your books, your bills, your mail, the baby's bottle, the car seat, all that stuff on the dining room table. And if you have time, you might go back and pull that stuff off and take it to where it belongs. But the shelves and the collection of all the shelves in the dining room, if you happen to have them, are like all the things that you would have in hand happen to get caught up in the dining room, okay? So we definitely want to kind of get some furniture polish in there, get a little duster, and rub that stuff down. And if you don't always have time, you know, you can leave everything in its place and just keep it out of your hair, you know? Get a hair dryer. Blow everything clean. I mean, if you get a hair dryer and blow everything clean, the dust becomes in the air. But with a little patience and some good aim, you'll get the job done. So just always remember from top to bottom, do not dust from the bottom up because you just mess everything up. Go from the top and work your way down, you guys, okay? So, anywho, now we got our house all cleaned up. We're ready to go. So we'll be right back. Hold on a second. Now, we are definitely gearing up to hear from our boy Omar this evening, and we are going to gearing up to hear from Omar this evening, and I'm really excited because we're about to have a blast. So,
what's that ringing?
What you call it? Sorry, you guys. So let's go ahead and let's get ready for Omar. We'll be right back after this. I'm not going tomorrow. I'm on. Oh, hello. Oh, Dad, and I was just calling you guys. Hey, you should have told me first, you guys. Okay. Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is your boy T. Angelo, and you are tuned in to Love Dance and Hate Between. Weird. Anyway, what's up, you guys? Thank you for tuning in to Love Dance and Hate Between Them. We talk about all things pop culture, and you know how we do it. So now. We are now ready to introduce to you all a great, funny, wonderful, hardworking gentleman. Okay, so let's talk about Omar. Well, this gentleman has done all sorts of things. He has been on BET's Comic View, where he has entertained us all. He has done movies. He has done commercials. He has done it. Okay, we're trying to be like Omar when we all grow up. So anyhow, Omar is a actor, comedic actor. He's also a music producer. He is a host. He is a comedian. He has been on a slew of different TV shows. He's done Spike TV. He has done Wayne Brady, Are You Talented? He has done movies, The Slumber Party, Mama's Food, Nerd Boy, and the list goes on and on. But I'm not going to spend all the time talking about the gentleman. We'd all hear from him ourselves. So without further ado, I welcome to Love, Dance, Hate Between Them, Omar!
How you doing? I'm so glad to be here.
Wonderful, wonderful. All the people, they love you. So, what's you doing? How are you doing?
I've been doing just fine. I caught your show for the first time last week when you had Little Nene on your show, and I was just hooked on your show after then, you know, because she's an up-and-coming star, and she's managed by the same person who managed me, Miss Monique Kirby, and Monique is putting us out there, and we're doing hard work. Believe me, Monique has us out there working, but she's a wonderful manager, and it's just a proud moment for me to be on your show right now.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Thank you. I do appreciate that, and thank you for coming on. I know Monique got you guys out there. She be working them.
Oh, yes, she does. She does.
That's great. Well, it's great. She's an awesome person. Yes, and then Little Nene, oh, my goodness. She's absolutely going to be that on the show. We're going to do more on her, and she is such a doll. I love it. I love her. She's
yes.
Great. She keeps me cracking up. So anyhow, about you. So how have you been?
I've been just fine. I'm just trying to keep busy. I'm always trying to keep busy. I try to do as much as I can as far as comedy, going to comedy clubs, going out auditioning for movies and commercials. And I also try to help up-and-coming talent because I have my own TV show and radio show that's entitled Are You Talented? So I'm out there looking for new talent. Because I believe when I help people, I get blessed.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Now, with Are You Talented, what is that show about?
It's like a talent showcase. I look for singers, dancers, rappers, comedians, poets, actresses, actors, anybody who wants to display their talent, they can come to my show. It's broadcast out of, like, Bellflower, California, and it's shown in 500 cities throughout California, and it's also shown in 10 different states on local cable stations. So it's good for exposure.
Okay, that's what's up. If a listener happens to want to be a part of this and get more information on it, where can they go to find the show or how to be involved?
Are You Talented is shown every Saturday at 7 p.m. if you have a Verizon cable box or either a Time Warner cable box. It comes on throughout a lot of states. Like I say, 7 p.m. on Saturdays. If they need more information, they can email me at omar4talent@gmail.com.
And what was that? Say it one more time for me. The
Omar, O-M-A-R, the number 4, talent, T-A-L-E-N-T, @gmail.com. Omar4talent@gmail.com.
That's what's up. Well, that's what's coolio now. So, they say you funny. What makes you so funny?
Oh, yes, I am. I'm very, very funny.
Okay.
I do. I believe me, I work it in the comedy clubs. I do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now,
yes, I do. I love to be funny.
And I'm sure it has to be a blast. I'm sure you crack yourself up. So with us being in Los Angeles, what are some of the spots you've been out? Some of the venues you've covered here in Los Angeles?
We're at the Laugh Factory, Mixed Nuts Comedy Union, Ha Ha
mm-hmm.
Cafe, Ice House in Pasadena. I don't care where it's at. It could be a barbecue in a backyard. If they want me to come out there and do comedy, I don't care. I'll do it. I just love to make people laugh. It's my gift.
Right. That's awesome. Okay. That's what's going on. So now you also dibble-dabble with acting and things of that nature. What do you prefer? Do you prefer to do comedic acting, or do you like to get into dramas, or how do you prefer?
I like comedic acting. I love
mm-hmm.
that style. You know, drama is cool. I can do that. But I love just making people laugh. That's my main thing. And also, I just like to make people feel good. I just feel that's my gift, to make them. When you make a person laugh, you make them feel better. No matter what kind of problems they got going on, if they laugh, they feel better.
That's true. That's true. A good laugh will always take you there. So how did you get into comedy? How did it first start for you?
Like, back in the day, I used to be in a dance group. When I first started out, I was in a dance group down in Georgia. I'm originally from Georgia. We call ourselves the Soul Strutters. Now, when we were doing these shows, we used to have breaks. Now, when we have these breaks, I would just get up on stage while the band was sitting up and things were going on. I would just get up there and just try to make the people, you know, just make them laugh and stuff. And that's when I found out that I could do it. And when the group broke up, the dance group broke up, I just went full-time into comedy.
Wow, okay. So you kind of just found your way through it all.
Yeah.
Now, what would you say has been some of the challenges? Actually, I'm going to ask a different question. You're from Georgia, so what made you come to California?
Because I felt like the only place you can go in Georgia, don't get me wrong, I love Georgia, is Atlanta, Georgia. That's the place that's happening right now. But when I was growing up, it was only Atlanta you could go to. And so I decided to come to California. I was going to either come to California or either New York to make it in the entertainment game. And I decided to come to California because I got relatives in California.
And where are you from in Georgia?
Milledgeville, Georgia. It's like 36 miles from Macon, Georgia. It's about 150 miles from Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, okay, okay. Okay.
I'm a country boy.
That's what's up. Nothing wrong with that. And so now, what would you say has been some of the hardships of getting in this industry?
I would say that, like, the main thing about this industry is that, and I have to be truthful, my management probably going to get mad when I say this. It's all about, they judge you on your look.
Okay.
On your look. When you hand them pictures, that's all they go by. They don't get to know you. They just go by what your picture look like. And so when people find out what I can do is for, you know, music production, host, improv artists doing comedy, or maybe to write scripts and all this other stuff, then they love me. But just appearance, you know, is what carries a person in Hollywood. That's just my call. To me, I think it's wrong.
Right.
I totally think it's wrong, but that's Hollywood, so I have to play the game.
Right, right, yeah. In Hollywood, image is everything.
Yeah.
You could not be talented and not be good at your job, but you look good, so you can do it.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. I've been through episodes like that. I just didn't understand it. I've seen people who are like, what I would say, they look good, but they have no talent, but they still get a lot of jobs. So
yeah, that is how
it
works. So, and then what would you say has been some of the easier things for you? You know, some of the stuff that happened that you just was like, wow, that happened quite easy for me.
Because when it comes to like, acting part, if they ask me to improv, it comes easy. It comes really, really easy. I can rip it up. Whereas I've seen actors who have to stick to a script. If they have to stick to a script, they're a little bit lost with me. They can't keep up with me. But it comes natural with me because it's easy for me to improv, real easy.
Yeah, that's a great muscle to have, too, especially when they do want that. You know, okay, you know, we've done this scene with the script. Try something else off script, and you can still deliver. Especially as a comedic actor, that's really a great asset to have. That's cool. So
yes,
now, who are some of the comedians that has been positive influences or mentors for you?
Don't get me wrong, I got a few cousins that's out there right now. My cousin Ricky Harris, he influenced me.
Mm-hmm.
Renato Ray. I love Martin Lawrence, Eddie Murphy. I love the Wayans brothers. I just like people that are a little bit, I would say, just able to do characters. You know, like the stuff that Martin used to do on his show, on his TV show.
Martin is my favorite comedian ever.
Yeah, Martin is really, really nice. He's just multi-talented. He can do it all, you know. I love Jamie Foxx because he does the music thing. You know, he can sing and do comedy. So, you know, I just look up to people like that.
Now, let's see, who is someone that you kind of don't care for in the comedic world?
Let me see. Is there anybody I don't really, really like? I'm going to tell you something. coming up, I used to look at... And he's a legend in the game, Don Rickles.
Okay.
I didn't like care for him too much. I didn't care for Gallagher? Gallagher?
Gallagher?
The guy who would run around and smash the watermelons. You know, he put the fruit on the stage, the watermelons, and he smashed them. I didn't like him too much. But I didn't think he was funny.
Right. Now, and what you said, you talk about the characters that Martin does. Is that what draws you to that type of comedy?
Yes, I love that because that's like creating your own. It's nothing that's already established. You take a name, you take a character, and you develop it, and you make it into something. And everybody knows you by that camera, you know, character. You know, you take something like, I got a character that's named Shang-A-Lang Lang, and it's something that I made up based off of somebody I knew back in Georgia when I was growing up. And every time I do him on film, everybody loves him.
Shang-A-Lang Lang?
Because he's a sexy thing. You got to understand, he's Shang-A-Lang Lang, and I'm a sexy thing. He got the Jerry Curl wig on. He got the big silver teeth. He got the short pants on, the tight jacket on with the shiny sequins on it. Oh, he's a sexy thing because he's Shang-A-Lang Lang. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, he is.
Well, nice to meet you, Shang-A-Lang.
Yeah, he works, you know. I pull him out, you know, and I do it with him and stuff. And I got others I do, you know, because I got little Omar, I do him too. And he's a little kid, you know, and little Omar, he's something like this. How you doing today? My name is little Omar, and I'm just blessed to be on your show. And I also know you're a choreographer.
Get it? Get
that
it?
That means dancer.
Got it.
And I respect you highly because I know you can dance your booty off. That
oh,
little
my.
Omar.
Well, nice to meet you too, little O.
Yeah, but I love doing characters, though, because I can hide in characters. When I do characters, I'm not responsible for what I say in my mind. I love doing characters.
Really? Is that how you pull that off?
That's how I do them. I fall into them deep. I get into them deep, for real.
So I'm not responsible for what is said.
Yeah.
That is awesome. That's what's up. Now, did you do the whole family life? Do you have a lot of family involved with you?
Yes, I do, down in Georgia. All my family members are down in Georgia, in Millersville, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, Stansville. That's where I'm from, and it's like a different upbringing, you know, because down in the South, it's real strict.
Right.
And, like, I love that my family raised me the way they raised me because, you know, I didn't turn out bad. I turned out to be a good person, you know. So I love
it. And do you have children?
No, I do not. No, I do not. I have, I consider, I'm going to tell you something. I consider Nene to be my stepdaughter. Yes, I do. I love Nene.
Well, that's a good child to add to your.
Yes, she is. She's
family.
A wonderful daughter. Yes, she is.
She is. So the reason I asked about family is just to say, have you found it difficult to balance your career with personal life?
It's kind of hard because I have an uncle and aunt that live with me, and I have to, you know, take care of them, and I try to do my entertainment thing, but that's the only thing. But it's not too hard, though, because I got some people who support me in what I do, you know. I got my two nieces who support me in what I do, so when I have to go out of town, they come around and they watch my uncle and my aunt for me because they up in age. My uncle and aunt, they up in age, so they support me and they do what they have to do to make it work.
Okay. And now, who are some of the in a different line of questioning? I'm gonna kind of change gears here. Who are some of the artists that you've worked with that stick out to you? Some moments on stage, or some moments that you've meshed with another artist or comedian that just really stand out to you?
The first time I'm gonna tell you something. The first time I met Renato Ray, I used to be at the Townhouse in L.A. He amazed me because he was, you know how some comedians, when they're on a certain level, they won't talk to you, they won't tell you what you're doing wrong. But the way they had it set up at the Townhouse, when you got off stage from doing your set, they would tell you what you need to improve on. And they weren't badgering you or trying to belittle you. They just tell you, well, you need to work on your timing. You did that joke right. You did this joke wrong. When you come back next week, we're going to, you know, see what you've improved on. But I love Renato Ray. And I also love another person I didn't mention is Michael Collier.
Okay,
Michael Collier.
Mm-hmm.
You know who that is?
I do not.
But anyway, he's a big-time comedian. But anyway, he told me something that will always stick with me. He told me that comedy is the art of listening. When you're on stage, you have to listen to put what people laugh at. And those are the jokes that you keep. If you're telling a joke and people ain't laughing at it, get rid of it. But if you're saying something and it works every time and people laugh at it, that's how you build your routine off the stuff that you listen to that people laugh at.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Yep.
Okay. So, and then with in regards to who you have worked with, is there anyone in particular you're still interested in working with?
Oh, yes. I would love, if I could work with anybody I want, I haven't worked with him yet, but I would love to work with Martin Lawrence, Eddie Murphy. I would love to work with one of them, too, because I just love the character thing. I would love to work with the Wayans brothers because of what they did on In Living Color. I would love that.
Right, yeah. In Living Color was also another monumental show that was awesome. So we have, you have been in the game for a minute. You have learned. You have experienced. For a new person coming from Georgia looking to come to L.A., what do you tell them?
I would tell them if they're going to be a comedian, I would tell them you have to go to all the open mics that you can find in L.A. Talk to people who are out there. When you go to a comedy show, talk to other comedians and try to link up with them to find out what's going on in L.A. You have to go to open mics first where they give you like 3 minutes, and you have to test your material. You have to really test it to see what people laugh at. And that way you know you're good, because when you do comedy in front of your family and friends, they're going to give you what they call a pity laugh. You know, they're going to laugh even if it's not funny. But when you go out in a club, people don't know you, so if you're not funny, they're going to let you know it.
Right, right, right. Yeah, if you're not funny, I just can't laugh. It's just not possible.
So that's the way it goes.
So that's what's up. Okay, so I'm in this world of comedic. So now, right before you go on stage, you're standing, you know, on the wings of the stage, and they're, you know, whatever is on stage is finishing up. As that moment comes up for you, and me being a performer as well, I know that could be like, you know, one of the biggest moments before you actually go on stage is that last few breaths before you step onto the stage. What are you thinking about? What is going through you and your mental state before you walk into that spot?
Believe me when I say this, not enough. People are going to laugh when I say this. I am from Georgia. Now, the only artist they had in Georgia that really stuck out to me was James Brown. I'm always listening to that James Brown on my headphones before I get ready to go on stage because he gives me energy. Because he was the hardest working man in show business. And my goal is to give the people a good show, because he always gave a good show. James Brown always gave a good show. And so I'm going out there to give a good show. And I have to play James Brown music for my intro, and I go out and I dance at first and stuff to get the energy up. And then I do my comedy. And it always works, because everybody loves James Brown.
Okay, that's the perfect way to go about it. I have no arguments, because who doesn't love Little James? Hey!
Yeah.
Yes, that's awesome. Well, wonderful. I feel like I've learned so much about the comedic world at this point. Is there any more little side notes that one should learn about the world of comedy?
Well, the thing is, I'm going to tell you, anybody out there who want to get in comedy, I'm going to tell you this. It's not as easy as it seems, because one of my worst experience, I'm going to tell you, when I first started doing comedy, I went to a place called the Bistro A80, and it's primarily a black club. Now, my stupid self, I didn't know you have to know who you're talking to when you do comedy. I went in there, and my routine, now dig this, was about why women shouldn't be on welfare. Now, how do you think it went over with them? It didn't go over good.
It was an urban club, but half of them on welfare. That wouldn't have.
It didn't go over good. So the host of the show, he came and he told me, he said, you got to know who you're talking to. Now, if you go to a white club and do that, it will work. But a black club, that ain't going to work. And now the same set, I did it in a white club, and everybody was laughing about it. They loved it. Just knowing when you're doing comedy, you have to know who you're talking to, who your audience is.
Right, know your audience, definitely.
Yeah, you got to know your audience, you know.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Omar, I want to say thank you so much for coming by today. This has been great, learning all about what you have done and the things you've been through. I'm so happy we share the love for Martin Lawrence, because, there's a slew of great comedians, but for me, he just always hits my funny bone immediately with everything he does, so.
Yeah, he's great. He's really great. And like I say, I want to be the next Martin Lawrence. Jamie Foxx combination. That's what my goal is.
Awesome. Well, you guys, to all the listeners out there, if you happen to be interested in Omar's show, Are You Talented? You can definitely email him at omar4talent@gmail.com and definitely find out more about that. Now, is there any website in particular, Omar, the listeners could go to check you out or some of the things you have going on?
The best way you can reach me is on Facebook. Go to Omar, O-M-A-R, Mosley, M-O-S-L-E-Y, and I list all my up-and-coming events on Facebook. I always, you know, do a shout-out and let people know where I'm going to be at. Omar Mosley on Facebook.
Omar Mosley, M-O-L.
M-O-S-L-E-Y.
M-O-S-L-E-Y. All righty. Well, that is just awesome. Well, Mr. Omar Mosley, we definitely thank you so much for stopping by Love, Dance, and Hate Between Them this evening.
I want to thank you, too, because you are wonderful. And it's just, when I found out you was a choreographer, it just made me so happy because I know you know about the dance thing. And like I told everybody, I used to be in a group called the Electric Boogaloos back in the day when I first came to California. And I just love dance. And I know you're a cool dude because you're a choreographer. And that's all I got to say to you. And I want to thank you for letting me be on your show.
Most definitely. Thank you. Thank you. Until next time, you have a good night.
All right, Dan. Bye-bye.
Good night. Hey, you guys, I know we already had a music transition, so why do I feel the need to do another one? I don't know. It felt good, though. I'm a little juicy. Hold on. Okay. All better now. I know, right? There's always a little bit much right there, but I cracked that up. All righty. Well, you guys, this wonderful ride is coming to a close. We have had such an informative evening today, if I say so myself. Everything from coming at the White House to Beyonce and the Jay-Z to learning about a few quick career prep programs and also spring cleaning. It has been mad cool. So if you guys want to check it out, you missed some of the show, it always will be archived on EOTMradio.com, so you can definitely check it out. It'll be posted on my Facebook page. Feel free to always share your thoughts. Email me, TEANGELO@EOTMradio.com. Love to hear your thoughts. I need to get back to my email bag. I haven't actually checked it. That's my fault on that one. And see what's going on, what people's thoughts are. Maybe we have a good story in there we should share with all the listeners. So, anywho, what you call it? So, as we pull this to a close, I just want to say thank you to everyone at EOTM who helps to make this show possible. You guys, definitely stay tuned. I am currently in works with the people of Jamaica Jams, which is going to be the hotness. You have to stay tuned because I'm going to get all the details for you. I have some of them, but I want to get the website stuff going for you. But you know what? I'm sure you're going to do next week. I'm going to get the information so you guys can at least check out Jamaica Jams, which is going to be a cruise to Jamaica with dance and poetry and fraternities and sororities and everything. It's going to be awesome. Got to be there. Got to get our Jamaica bodies together. Ooh, I should do a segment on maybe getting our bodies together, fitness and eating healthy or something. We'll see. So anyhow, you guys definitely check it out. Check it out. Always stay tuned to EOTM blog, EOTM TV, because you know we're always pushing it and making it happen. Let it do what it do, baby. So anyhow, you guys, I'm not going to say too much else. I think that's all I have to say, all we have to do for the evening. What am I going to do next? Oh, I'll probably go finish the homework of Othello. Should I read you guys some Othello? Do y'all want to hear some Othello tonight? Where'd my book go? Oh, it's probably in my bag. Well, you guys would luck out. I would have read you guys some Othello. Anyhow, we won't hold you guys too much luck. You guys are like screaming, no, they're horrible. I can read Othello. I sound very good as Iago or whatever the names are, the Verbancio. There we go. Anyhow, you guys, it's been great. Oh, before I go, is it just me or are smartphones not as smart as they were claiming to be? I'm about to go through my third freaking cell phone. It just came in today because the one I have now is stupid. So mental note to self, do a segment on stupid cell phones. Anyhow, I bleep myself out right there because I said a bad word. Okay, you guys, well, thank you so much. This is your boy, T. Angelo, here on EOTM Radio, doing what we do as we do with our crew. Woo-woo. And I have had a blast, you guys. Thank you again, Omar, so much for coming on the show. We did enjoy you and your insight on the world of comedy. Monique, thank you for having him on. Lil Nene, I'm coming for you, you little lady. And until next time, you guys, this is your boy, T. Angelo. And as I love to end the show, remember to always dance as though no one is watching. Just live. I'm out.
Boy,